नमस्ते गिरिराजाय श्री गोवर्धन नामिने अशेष क्लेश नाशाय परमानन्ददायिने नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णापृष्ठाय भूतले सीमाते भक्ति वेदांता स्वामी नित्य नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्राचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवाणी भास्कर्यारे सदारिणे श्रीकृष्णा चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासरी गौरभक्तवृंद ताप्त कंचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमोस्तुते वंशकल्पतरुभैश कृपा सिन्धुभयैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे Hare Krishna. I want to affectionately welcome all of you for this session of our katha, which deals with the inner journey, the manoratha of Akrura. It is said that the life force for the body comes through proper food, a proper lifestyle, and also enough sleep. But the life of the mind, the life for the inner instrument, is smaran, or remembering, recollection, absorption, all these internal activities. Many times we see people who take care of their bodies only, but who do not understand enough that it is necessary to take care of the life of the mind. You cannot survive if you just have outer life. You must have inner life. When we were young and the world was younger, Srila Prabhupada used to write us in the temples at times different instructions. And there was one instruction which he had asked to be telegraphed. We had these telex machines at that time all over the world. It was a purport he had just finished while he was working on the translation of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And that purport, and in the text, he speaks about the inner life, the mano dharma or the manorata, which each devotee must do. The text says, man becomes stout and strong by eating sufficient amount of grains. But if they do not hear regularly about the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, they will become weak. And Prabhupada had written a purport to this text where he said that if you just eat and take food for your body, but you neglect your mind and your inner life, your inner health, you will become weak and fall from the transcendental position. And the Bhagavatam repeats this instruction. It asked in an almost aggressive way questions to the materialists who have no inner life. It says you are dead if you are not thinking of Krishna. They say, we might object, is breathing not the sign of life? And don't we breathe all the time? Are we not alive? But the Shastras say the bellows in the blacksmith breathe, but still they are dead. In the same way, eyes which do not see Krishna are actually dead eyes. You might say, but I see so many things. I can see you now. I'm not dead. But the scriptures say, can't you see the eyes printed on the peacock feathers? They look like eyes, but because they don't actually see the reality around, they are not alive. So in this way, Shastra gives many examples saying that a material man who only sees material things and thinks about material things is really not alive. I'm really want to bring a point to your attention. Parikshit Maharaj had 7 more days to live. How did he spend these days? He spent the days in the most beneficial way one can do. I think if you say to some materialist, you have 7 more days to live, do it in the most beneficial way, many would go to the Adria in Croatia and eat every day an Italian-made pizza. And that would be their dream of fulfillment. But Parikshit Maharaj said, I want to be alive for these 7 days. I will hear about Krishna. So Akrura's journey, this is what I want to make clear somehow, and the lessons which we can take from the journey are important for our life. They are lebensnotwendig, that is necessary for life, because they tell us how to become alive by bringing our mind alive with Krishna. The life of the mind is smaran, remembering. To whatever degree you can remember Krishna, that's how alive you are internally. Hare Krishna. So, as much as Akrura looked forward to see the Lord, he also looked forward to seeing the Holy Dham. He said in his mind, soon I will see that Supreme Lord of the saintly people, the Sattvatas. He is residing in Vrindavan Dham. And from there, from Vrindavan, he spreads his fame. He is now there in Vrindavan Dham. I will visit him at his home. This idea should be the idea of everyone who comes to Vrindavan. I am visiting Krishna at home. I have something very important which only I can discuss with him. There's no one else who will understand me. And I will now make the journey to his dham where he eternally stays. If you come to Vrindavan with a shopping list or with a social list or with if you're a young man and you want to meet a young girl in the shadows of the MVT building, if you come in this way to Vrindavan Dham, you will not arrive in the Vrindavan about which the scriptures speak. You will be deceived. You will be cheated by God. You will arrive in a place with murky waters, which is in ecological danger. You will arrive at a place where gangs of monkeys terrorize the roofs. You will not come to the actual Vrindavan Dham for which you need an inner vision. That is why Akura's example is just so absolutely telling, you could say. Akura comes in his whole journey, you know, he thinks about Krishna's toenails, his face, he thinks about Krishna's appearance in the world, he is just in an inner journey. Without an inner vision, you just can't see Vrindavan. I would like to give you an example from history. Not far from here in Agra, the very tolerant Muslim ruler, Akbar, was ruling India. And he had in his court a singer called Tansen. Tansen was really one of his jewels, the most precious belongings or parts of his whole empire, because he could really sing very wonderful. Tansen's singing, I remember once he gave a concert where he had many, many candles in Akbar's court. They were not lit. They were just, you know, unlit candles. And he sang the Agni Raga. And as he sang, at a certain time, all these millions of candles were lit by the power of Agni, which was invoked by the singing. So Akbar afterwards was just so mesmerized by Tansen that he gave him a lot of wealth and then said, "Tansen, you are the best singer. You are the most priceless jewel of my court. Is there anyone in the world who sings better than my Tansen?" Tansen said, "I'm croaking like a frog if you put me next to the real master of music, Swami Haridas. But oh, my emperor, Swami Haridas will not sing for you." "Oh," said Akbar, "then for whom does he sing?" "Swami Haridas," said Tansen, and his eyes were full of tears, because that was his guru who lived in Vrindavan. "Swami Haridas only sings for God, for the king of all kings, Vrindavan Bihari." So that evening, a seed of desire, you could say a manorata, was put in the heart of Akbar, he just wanted to hear Swami Haridas sing only one time. Like teenagers in my time thought, if we can only one time hear Mick Jagger live, fulfillment of our dreams. So we were ready to give everything, all our money which we had put aside in little boxes under our pillows. One time, Akbar had the same desire in relationship to Swami Haridas, and he became dejected and that it was impossible. And one day Tansen said, I like you. You are a good king. You just come with me and somehow we will do it. But you have to do what I tell you. Yes, 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 said Akbar. So first thing is strip your cloth. Dress like a beggar. Akbar dressed. All right. Now you come and you will hide in the bushes. Very humbly. I will go to my revered guru Maharaj and I will get him to sing the Mala Raga, and you will not believe what will happen. You will not believe how you feel afterwards. You will see what is real singing. Yes, said Akbar. So Tansen took him, he went to Swami Haridas to get his to his heart, but before he placed Akbar in a bush, and then he said, Haridas, Guru Maharaj, and then Haridas came out and said, yes, Guru Maharaj, you taught me to sing the Mala Raga, but I'm not sure if I remember each detail. Can I just sing it for you, and then you can correct me and sing it properly. Just please one more time, then I get it. Okay, Swami Haridas sat down. Tansen took the tambura, only a tambura. And he started to sing the Mala Raga. But this was the only sound. Then he started. But he sang it deliberately wrong. Then Swami Haridas took the tambura out of his hand, said, not like that. And then he did the tambura. And as he began to sing the Mala Raga, clouds began to assemble in the cloudless sky. They rumbled and rain poured down. Everywhere was rain, pleasant rain, and some flowers came, and Akbar was just fainting behind his bush. Tansen said, O Guru Maharaj, because Akbar just fell behind the bush, paying, the king has come. he wants to take your darshan. Believe me, he's a very nice person. Haridas got up and said, no, 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 I cannot see a king. But Tansen begged him, and finally Haridas agreed to give Akbar his darshan. Akbar was so impressed that he begged for a little service. And Haridas, knowing that Akbar could only see Vrindavan with external eyes, decided to bless him. The way he blessed him is very beautiful. He said, you see there, this God, one edge is a little bit worn down by the feet of the pilgrims. Maybe you can repair this edge so that the God is in good order and people can bathe very nicely. Akbar thought, but this is a minor thing which one of my craftsmen can do. You please ask for more. I was not properly introduced to you, but I'm a man of wealth and taste. A man of means. I'm the emperor here. They call me Akbar the Great. Yes, I know, but you are a very small man, said Haridas. You please look where the damage is and you assess it, and then you tell me what is your estimation, price estimation. So Akbar went down, and then somehow by the blessings of this saintly person, he was allowed for just a second a glimpse into the real Vrindavan, the Vrindavan which you cannot find in the shadows of the MVT building, the Vrindavan you can't find by going your shopping list up and down, the Vrindavan which you also will never find if you go through your complaint list about the dirt in Vrindavan and the different culture in Vrindavan. He saw the real Vrindavan, Krishna's home. He saw the priceless jewels making up this bathing ghat. He saw it's a Chintamani dam, and he could understand that even if he would sell his entire kingdom, he wouldn't raise the wealth which is necessary to even replace a little of the damage or repair a little of the damage. He was shocked, and as he recovered, he bowed down to Swami Haridas and said, "You and Vrindavan Dham are beyond the reach of my mind and the reach of my words and my means." When you come to Vrindavan, my dear devotees, you must know that at the moment you are blind for spiritual reality. And a blind man can only enter a different area on faith. If someone says, "You go right, go left, go straight now, be careful, steps are coming, now move your foot up," and click, he goes up the steps, and so on and so forth. Or he must have a walking stick and go like this. So the real Vrindavan, you must have either guidance in which you have faith, a guide, which can be a person or scriptures, or you just must move very carefully with the power of the holy name. Dham means Nam, and that can be the key to open the transcendental dimension for you. The first thing you must really understand, that I could understand from reading the Bhagavatam and also from Akura's example, the wealth of Vrindavan is in the dust. Start with the dust, because the dust is touched by what? The lotus feet of Krishna. And Krishna gives through his feet the love of his heart into this earth. It is wrapped into each grain of dust. You can only enter Vrindavan Dham through the mercy of the dust, because this Vrindavan Dham is made special. It's a special place only because of the dust which is touched by Krishna. It's not the interesting Rajasthani architecture which you can see when you look at, for instance, Radha Raman Mandir. The wealth of Vrindavan Dham cannot be found even in the temples. Of course, there are deities. I mean, we should not. I'm speaking now of the outside of the temple. The roads, the everything. The wealth of Vrindavan Dham is the dust which has been glorified in the scriptures. When I did a research of the Bhagavatam to find out why is Dhamvas residing in the dust a most important item of which will give birth to bhakti, I found out that it is like this due to a certain potency which comes from to you. See the holy name, for instance. It has a certain potency, a spiritual potency. Look at the Bhagavatam. It has a certain potency. Look at the sadhu. The sadhu has a certain potency, and that potency is to make Krishna appear. When we chant the holy name, the potency is to purify the heart, but that's the lesser potency. The real potency is the name brings Krishna to you. Bhagavatam, the regular recitation of Bhagavatam makes Krishna appear in your heart. This is the potency, the spiritual potency to bring Krishna. And Vrindavan Dham brings Krishna, and this is done through the dust. I would like to tell you something which many of the devotees... Have you seen devotees who do dandavat parikramans in the dust of Vrindavan Dham? Have you seen? Do you know why they do this? They will tell you if you sit them down. We are touching the dust of Krishna's lotus feet so often. It's all over us. And do you know what? We feel Krishna appears in our heart. When you see these dandavat parikrama, these dandavat people, they are totally absorbed because they have entered, if they are lucky, one cannot say, if they are blessed, they enter another world. They are not in the Vrindavan which you see. They are in the Vrindavan of the other kind, which Akbar could see for a moment. Therefore, the sadhus have always made one practice very relevant in their life. That is what I call roaming. Roaming is, I heard, it's a mobile telephone expression, but it's the real roaming is you just roam around, you just walk. Narottam Das thinks about this sadhana, which I think is a very good sadhana, but if you want to do it, you should move in a group, you should have a guide, you should sing all the time the holy name, and you should read from scriptures, and then the Dham will, you will see something. This is how Narottam prays. O Sri Hari, when will I come to Braj? I will give up the pleasure of sleeping on a wonderful bed. When will my body become grey-coloured, grey, by sleeping in the dust of Braj? I have seen some of you, and I'm very proud of you. You're always sleeping at the lawn. This is a first-class sadhana. Try to sleep in the dust. No, nothing in between, and you will... Very good. When will I give up the enjoyment of the six flavors of palatable food And when will I eat the madukari obtained by the begging from the residents of Braj? I will circumambulate the holy places. I will roam from forest to forest on the banks of the Yamuna. I will find relief from the midday heat when it's really hot in the cooling shade of Vamsivat. Vamsivat is where a tree where Krishna is found playing his flute. When will I sit in the groves of Vrindavan and closely associate with the Vaishnavas? Narottam prays, when will I come to this level? So, my dear devotees, a good way to Braj roaming is to start with Govardhan Parikrama. Other ways is to find qualified guides who take you to holy places. Or you can just walk in a small group. If you are Matajis, be very careful of the local cultural language. When a Mataji is friendly to a resident of modern-day Vrindavan, it means she offers herself to him. No friendly. You can go like this or go like this if you want to be safe. When you do roaming, and so on. This is what here Akrura expresses. He is going with his chariot through Vrindavan now. He's approaching Vrindavan, and he is very, very much... his ecstasy is escalating as he thinks about Krishna. And as we hear from Jiva Goswami, his mind begins, Krishna catches his mind. Krishna is not happy as Akrura comes closer. In the night, Krishna had a dream. The night where Akrura was still in Mathura, and he was thinking about going to Vrindavan. His Manorata had started already. All through the night, you know, Akrura didn't sleep. Do you know what he did? Do you remember? He was observing Ekadasi by staying up and just hearing and chanting Krishna's glories and meditating already. So that time Krishna was in his bed also, and he had a dream. Akrura will come next morning, and he will try to take me out of Vrindavan. And we will hear more about that dream of Krishna tomorrow. And Krishna turned the other way around and started to cry in his sleep. We'll get very dramatic tomorrow when we hear another perspective. But now we just hear about Akrura's journey and what went on in his mind. But the Lord, who knows everything and everyone, he turned around in his sleep and cried. Whereas Akrura was getting all fired up. Hare Krishna. So as Akrura, I will just give you a little preview here. So I wanted to just say for you, please, my dear devotees, learn from Akrura. He is our role model, an unfortunate soul who becomes fortunate by going to Vrindavan. And he is looking forward to go to the dust. And he says here, when I come to Vrindavan, I will at once go get down from my chariot and I will bow down to the lotus feet of Krishna and Balarams. He will do like this. But while he is on the road, he also meditates about an image which I like to share with you. He says, there in Vrindavan, you will find the demigods glorifying Krishna. This is something which is very important and turns out and comes up in Akura's mind again and again. That is the subject matter of Sankirtan. Krishna has so many nice names, and it is said when we sing these names, Krishna comes in our mind. The Bhagavatam says, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord Hari. The congregational chanting of his holy name destroys all sinful reactions. And if we offer obeisances to him, we are relieved from material sufferings. So Krishna has so many names. For instance, in relationship to his qualities, there is a name called Karunanidhi. Please say it. Karunanidhi, the ocean of mercy, or the friend of the devotees, Bhaktavatsala. Or the most beautiful one, Paramasundara. These are names glorifying his qualities, or they are names glorifying his activities, like the lifter of the Govardhan hill, Girivaradhari, Kaliyadamana, Rasa Vihari. He enjoys the Rasa dance, and also Vangsivadan. I don't know what this name means. Vangsi I know, but Vadan, can someone help me? One who plays. Vadan means playing. He plays the flute. And also names which glorify his parents. Nanda Nandana. Yashoda Nandana. As Akrura is coming closer to Vrindavan, he says, today I will certainly see my Lord, the goal and spiritual master of the great souls. And he says, now all the dawns of my life have become auspicious. What Akura again teaches us here is that the lesson of eagerness. See, he is saying, I have spent so many sleepless nights in night vigils. I have chanted throughout the night. Do you sometimes chant throughout the night? Sometimes, I think. No? I have done all this, and now the result is about to take place. My dear devotees, if you want Krishna, you should learn from Akura to be a little more eager and focused on this. He stayed up. That's why he says, now all the dawns of my life have become auspicious. He's saying, without so many sleepless nights, this fruit would never have come about. I did this. I did this for my Lord. Now it's coming. This lesson on eagerness, I'm slowly getting into this Qatar, I notice. It is, Prabhupada spoke about this. And he said once in a very nice way that due to your eagerness you will see Krishna. That is the only qualification. Rupa Goswami says, Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita Mati Kriyatam Yadhi Kutopi Lapyate. Then Prabhupada revealed something. You might have said, You might ask yourself, why, from where did Prabhupada get this term, Krishna consciousness? I want to tell you, it is so difficult to find a brand name. For instance, I have a preaching program which I call the Vedic Way, but I would like to have a more sparkling name, but I just does not, it doesn't come to the mind. Or how to call a festival, you know, we call it sometimes the India Festival, or we call it the Hare Krishna Experience. That's much more for the experience-oriented. Branding something, giving the right name is so difficult. So you might ask yourself, where did Prabhupada get this name, Krishna Consciousness? He could have called it the real Hinduism, I don't know, anything good, Bhagavatam as it is, or whatever. But he said, this Krishna consciousness, I have taken this from this word, Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita Mati. The translation from the Sanskrit I have taken. Rupa Goswami advises, Krishna consciousness, what he really says, Krishna Mati. Mati means inner orientation. If it is possible, please purchase. Don't delay. Purchase immediately. Where is it available? It's such a nice thing. Yes, says Prabhupada, it is available. You can purchase. The movement is going on. Then again, the customer asks, and what is the price? Then he answers, price? It is such a nice thing. Yes, you have to pay the price. Then the customer asked, what is that? And then Prabhupada answers by giving the right price. Only 5 rupees. Tatra lolyam ekalam mulyam. Simply your eagerness. That is the price. This price you have to pay. Then you can get Krishna. Immediately. No, Krishna is not poor. And the Krishna seller, or salesman, the Krishna devotee, he is also not poor. He can distribute Krishna freely, and he's doing that. But you have to purchase by your... Now Prabhupada again takes the role of the customer. Oh, eagerness? I've got eagerness. Ha ha, Prabhupada says, it's not so easy. This eagerness cannot be achieved even by pious activities for millions of births. It's very rare. Then Prabhupada says, this eagerness, how it can be awakened. Do you have any idea? Maybe something from your own life. By hearing devotee association, surrendering and sacrificing, experience, mercy, servicing the devotees, chanting. I think you are all very good. Very good. You have very nicely answered. Prabhupada says here, it can be awakened by the association of devotees. Now, sometimes I have the feeling in our movement we think, oh, let me just hang out with advanced devotees or sit on their tie. It means be so close that they can't even move around, you know, and so on. Then it will somehow come. No, the association with devotees, we hear that in the Bhagavad Gita, it will come by, there must be service, and there must be sincere inquiry, or just eagerness to hear, and then mainly hearing the discussions about Krishna consciousness. Therefore, we have in this Govardhan retreat, we were for a long time looking for a format, and we have just decided to have a holy name retreat in Varshana and the Govardhan retreat, where we try to just have Krishna Katha, because the scriptures say in this way you become eager for Krishna. I really believe that if you come to the Krishna Katha, if you speak with devotees about Krishna conscious questions, then the dawns of your life will also become auspicious. In other words, you will get some eagerness. My dear devotees, you are alive or dead in spiritual life according to the degree of your eagerness. When your eagerness goes down and fails you, good night sunshine. Then everything stops. When the eagerness arises, then you show signs of life. Eagerness, you know, I come again to this, will come through a relationship. As Akura meditates about Krishna, he says he feels he will not be content just to imagine Krishna in his mind. He wants an active exchange with Krishna. He says, I will fall at his feet, and the Almighty Lord will then place his lotus hand upon my head. He wants to touch Krishna. He wants to feel Krishna. He wants to experience Krishna's, immediate presence in his life. That is what he wants. And I want to a little bit now say something which will be a little controversial. My dear devotees, Akrura becomes more and more eager as he thinks more and more about his relationship. He thinks how he will touch the lotus feet, which yogis only meditate about. He will meditate about how Krishna will see that Akrura is paying his obeisances, and he will bend down and he will take his lotus hand and help Akrura to stand up. This lotus hand gives fearlessness to the devotees, and it has a sugandha, a very pleasant smell. Krishna's hand smells like a lotus, actually. You can breathe in like no, he has no we should have brought a lotus aroma, but it's not available with us at the moment. Krishna's hand smells like a lotus, and I feel very strongly in my mind something, that we have so much difficulties to enter into a relationship, because how can we think that Krishna will touch us? That is such a bold thought. Especially devotees sometimes run away from dysfunctional relationships and run away out of the material world because their relationships don't really work. I think it is very important that you make relationships to devotees work before you can hope to get a relationship with Krishna. You need to know how to act in relationship with Krishna. You can't be an estranged person who is just and possible in his relationships, and then hope you will be good in your relationship with God. You need to learn first to be good in relationships with devotees. This is what I had to learn and still have to learn in my old age, because by my constitutional nature, I'm a lonely wolf. I like to be alone and not see anyone and not have to talk with anyone. It's just strange. You might feel that he's so outspoken. No, it's a shy individual. And in my old age, I'm now 60 years old, scandal, I have to learn to be a servant of others, to be kind to others, to be not egoistic. And this is, you know, this is one of the important teachings of Krishna consciousness. You have to learn what it means to enter a relationship so that you can do this in relationship with Krishna and not just engage with an imaginary Krishna. Sri Akrura, he says, I will touch these lotus feet. And when I have fallen at his feet, the Almighty Lord will place his lotus hand upon my head. There's an exchange. When I stayed in Kanainatai Shala, Bengal, it was a newly acquired property of our ISKCON Mayapur. It's the place where Lord Chaitanya saw Krishna under a tree and then developed the motto of his movement when Krishna disappeared. Krishna disappeared from the Lord, who tried to run after him and catch him. But then Krishna smiled, turned around and left. And from that moment, Lord Chaitanya had only one question. Where is my Krishna? And his Sankirtan movement, which he started, has only this question. Rupa Goswami expressed it as an eagerness to see Krishna. And Prabhupada expressed it as Krishna consciousness. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Now, you are asking for a relationship, my dear devotees. So when I was in Kanainatachala, I learned something from the villagers which I cannot forget. I lived in a very nice house where I could overlook the Ganga. I remember the first night I heard gong, 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 sounds like monsters. And when I looked in the morning, I saw these huge delphines who really look like whales coming up and making the sound, this monster sound, which made me tremble in the night. So I remember, opposite to the bathing ghat or boat ghat, maybe 1 kilometer across the Ganga, it's a huge Ganga area there. Ganga flows in a big lake there. It was another village and another ghat. And the boatsmen who were bringing the villagers and the cows. One time I counted 9 cows when I was chanting inattentive rounds in one of the village boats. They were going into this other village on the opposite side of the Ganga. There was their way. But do you know how they went? They first went about 500 meters in the exact opposite direction, leading apparently away from the village on the other bank. They rowed their boat upstream, and when they had reached a certain point, then they just brought the boat in midstream and rowed like anything as the Ganga pushed them down. And when they finally reached finally they reached on the other side the village which they wanted to reach. If they had tried to go straight, that is, without going upstream in the opposite direction, they would have not reached the village, but they would have reached so and so many kilometers downstream, another village or no village at all. So in Krishna consciousness, you sometimes must take in your life a direction which apparently leads you away from Krishna, but you must take this direction which in the end will bring you to Krishna. I would like to give one example. If you are not good in relationships and you want to make a relationship with Krishna, you must first develop relationships with devotees. You must learn this. You must learn to avoid specifically ego clashes which happen because they have other visions. Sometimes also, and I will now say something which those of you who have antennas will pick up, and the others, anyways, most of what I say will be forgotten anyways, so I don't have any big illusions, but I will make a subtle point now. Sometimes you may have to move in ways which others don't even understand. Look at Akrura. He served the demon, Kamsa. No one understood him. He is often also, even the Hare Krishna movements curse him. You know, I had one devotee saying, you talk about Akura's journey to Vrindavan. I'm not coming to your seminar this year because I don't want to hear the name of Akura. Yes, he's not liked. But he did this to attain Krishna. Is there something in your life which you might have to do, which might make you unfavorable in your social circles, but which will in the end help you to reach Krishna? Tapasvini Brahmacharini, maybe you have to marry and not be the most Tapasvini Brahmacharini. Oh, big lecturer, maybe you have to admit that you don't know how to chant even. Maybe you should first chant. Stop for some time, get spiritually strong. Maybe there are other things which are even more difficult to understand than the few easy examples which I have given. What I want to get at here is Akrura is doing, wants to enter Krishna Sambandha, and that is clear in text 15 and 16. He wants to grab the lotus feet. He wants to smell the lotus hand. He wants to be close to his Lord. Because he knows that lotus hand, it gives the highest achievements to everyone. And therefore, he did this upstream, rowing his boat in the opposite direction. I like this point very much. I like this very much because it shows you how spiritual life is never an external affair, but an internal affair. And it is very important for all of us to start our internal journey very soon, to learn from these examples, to learn about this far out devotee, how to reach Krishna. Remember the letter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. They asked him, how should we deal? We are here in the court of Nawab Hussain Shah. And Mahaprabhu said, you should be like a paramour lover. The most scandalous thing in the world. Like the wife who has found another lover and has discovered a fresh love, is hiding her love and acts very formally and correctly in her household, but only thinks of her new lover, you should also act correctly in your material affairs, but you should be in love with Krishna only and think of him only, even while you are so-called prime minister in the Muslim government. My last point for today, I wanted to talk about the Dham, and I wanted to talk about Akrura now getting intensely interested in Krishna Sambandha, a relationship of Krishna, with a mood of eagerness. I wanted to now talk about the last point. As Akrura writes on, again a doubt haunts his mind. What if I come to Vrindavan and the Lord considers me to be unqualified for his mercy? He will know that I'm coming as Kamsa's messenger. And it is a fact. Jiva Goswami said, in the night where Akrura was preparing himself for his journey to Vrindavan, in that night Krishna caught his vibration. I'm speaking in slang language. Let me say it better. An image appeared in Krishna's heart of Akrura coming on a chariot to get him to leave Vrindavan and come to Mathura. And Krishna was not happy about this. He was unhappy. So Akrura also, as being a very sensitive person, says, what is if Krishna is unhappy with me? Yeah, I can throw myself in the dust, I can touch his lotus feet, but maybe he will slap me with his hand and not touch me. Maybe he will use his cowherd stick and poke it in my nose and say, leave fast. And so on. But as he rides on his chariot, two things come in his mind. He says, Api Vishvadrik, the Lord is the witness of everything which goes on in the universe. And he also says, he is Chetragya. He knows what goes on in the heart of everyone. And with confidence he says, though I'm Kamsa's messenger and I have sent by him, Krishna will understand that I'm not his enemy but his devotee. The world will misunderstand me, but Krishna will know that I love him and that I did all this, stay in the house of or the palace of Kamsa, just to see him, just to have his darshan. Krishna knows everything. And my dear devotees, I sometimes consider this as one of Krishna's greatest qualities. I often meet devotees who open their hearts to me and they say, Maharaj, no one understands me. Now every teenager will say this between girls start early, 13 to 17 years, And boys will say it between 15 to 19 years. No one understands me. That's a psychological hormone thing. But also, when you go beyond it, very often it is difficult to find true friends, especially in Kali Yuga, where we have so little time and where we are so distracted in so many ways. Like I told you, when I entered this one Krishna Katha one evening, I saw so many devotees using their mobile phones to do text messages. It's highly impolite, but what can they do? They have to find some free minute to text message, you know. So our relationships in Kali Yuga are because we are bombarded with an ever increasing array of things to do, they tend to be shallow, and therefore we don't have the time to really get into knowing each other really well. It is sad to say. It is sad to experience this. And very often we learn to live only our half life in public. And what when we say, if anyone would really know what's going on, or if I would place a loudspeaker to my mind, and then someone would hear what I think, really, then that would be the end of my career in Krishna consciousness. Yes, because we have to be careful with each other. We have to. Hare Krishna. But we should know there is one person who always understands us, and that is Krishna. Krishna is right there in the heart, and he gives even the guidance which we require to go back home, back to Godhead. And he even destroys the ignorance which we have and the doubts. Because he is Vishvadrik, he witnesses the whole universe, and he is Chetagya. He is with you in the field of your body, and he knows who you are and what you think. And he has not given you up. He hears the direct loudspeaker which is inside, you know, and which the world cannot hear. The mind talks all the time. He hears it, and he has not given it up. So therefore, shouldn't we make a relationship with Lord Krishna? Shouldn't we finally express ourselves to Krishna in all seriousness? Shouldn't we learn from Akrura, my dear devotees, to open our heart? Shouldn't we learn to be confident like Akrura? Is he won't misunderstand me. He will understand that when I'm rowing up the Ganga, I'm only wanting to come to his village. I'm doing this to come to him, and so on. I think we need to learn from Akrura, who was in a problematic situation, like all of us who are in a material body and a material mind, to engage with Krishna. Then finally, Akrura puts all doubts away, and he says, Krishna suritamam gyatim ananya daivatam. He will recognize me as an intimate friend, and Krishna will embrace me with his mighty arm, and he will sanctify my body immediately and diminish all my material bondage. He will embrace me, and as I stand before Krishna, Akrura, just try to understand, he will address me, and he will say, my dear Akrura. At that moment where Krishna says this, my dear Akrura, my dear Atul Krishna, my dear Ananda Chaitanya, my dear Mr. Know-it-all, my dear, you know who I mean, my dear Madhumati, my dear Krishna Devidasi, as we hear this, our life is perfect. So that is Akrura's meditation, that the Lord will then embrace him, and Balaram will take him by the hand, and they will be led into Vrindavan's village. And as Akrura is meditating like this, all of a sudden something happens to him, which Carl Gustav Jung would call the ultimate religious experience. And that changes everything for Akrura and his meditation. But that we have reserved for tomorrow, that ultimate religious experience or Krishna conscious experience. This experience may come and will come to all of us one day, but only if we have done the Manorata, the inside journey to Krishna, where we engage with him in ever increasing ways. This inner journey has one motor. Do you know the motor or the price you have to pay? Eagerness. And that eagerness will come when we associate with devotees and do the things which the Lord advises us in the Gita. Serve the devotees and also hear from them about Krishna. Then we will become more and more eager and we will go in our journey. And once Krishna sees this eagerness, and you know, please see, in the beginning Akrura just meditated and then he thought, oh, I will touch his lotus feet and he will embrace me and Krishna's elder brother will grasp my joints hand while I'm standing with my head bowed and then he will take me to his house. So he's getting so eager and as he gets closer to Vrindavan, the sun starts to set and then something happens which he could not foresee even in his boldest dreams. It was something which I would like to discuss tomorrow morning, which is described by Shukadev Goswami as the goal for everyone who has taken a body. An experience happens to him, an actual spiritual experience. God. So, Hare Krishna. I must admit, today's class was the most difficult for me to give. I'm sorry I didn't do as good as I wanted to do. Everything looked so good in the preparation, but then when you deliver it, I feel I have not brought out my real point very nicely of today's class. You've heard about Vrindavan Dham, you heard about eagerness, you heard about rowing against the stream, going against the stream to reach your goal. Sometimes a point which I believe that this will come up many times in your life and that you will remember this point at that time from the class. What I just wanted to really focus on is Akrura's mounting eagerness, which comes and which prepares him for the Krishna conscious experience, which I believe all of us need. I wanted to express in this class that all of us must check our spiritual lives very carefully and see if there is a healthy development going on, if there is an increasing of an increment. Is it called increment? If our eagerness increases, yes or no? That we must see. And when we see it is not increasing, but we come to a comfort zone, or we become just dull and switched off, that we take the immediate measures against this, and we just don't tolerate it, because this is the only price which you need in your Krishna consciousness. But if you don't have it, you won't get anything. You will remain hungry. So sometimes it's better to say, not to ask for an experience in Krishna consciousness. It's better to ask for an increment. I hope it's an English word. It's increasing the eagerness. What is it called? Increment? An increment of the eagerness. It is much more wise to ask for this than for an experience. And that, you know, to make us more eager, that may require that we become thoughtful about our ways. Maybe it is time. One devotee told me, a book distributor told me, something which I found very, very nice. He had talked with his GBC, very wonderful GBC devotee. I do not wish to relate the names, so because it was a private discussion. He said to me, Maharaj, I'm a book distributor. It goes very well. I give lectures very well. But I felt I need to think more about Krishna. And I went to my GBC member and said, what do you think? And he said also, yes, it's good if you study a little the Bhagavatam with the help of devotees and hear about Krishna. And yes, you can do this. And so this devotee goes for maybe up to a month and does this to get the eagerness. There's danger in the horizon when your eagerness for Krishna consciousness wanes. Danger on the horizon. The shadows in your life will become longer and more pronounced. Means your material attachments. When that sun of eagerness goes down, your own shadows, your own not acknowledged desires will increase and walk and cover your whole life maybe. So this eagerness is a very important thing, and as we always hear in the scriptures, we can gain that in the association of devotees, and when we just need to associate properly. And our Govardhan retreat, really, Burijan Prabhu's idea, and myself and the other members, is just to give the devotees this opportunity to just hear about Krishna, even in from the Bhagavatam and the scriptures. That's our desire, and that's why we have often prayed to Giriraj, and Giriraj has now given us a wonderful land so that we can build a beautiful retreat center for where this can be developed more and more, this nourishing culture which really is meant to increase the eagerness in each one of the hearts of each participant. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. You're very kind. Tomorrow will be better. You're very kind. We have now half an hour for all relevant questions. Please raise your hands if you have a question. I saw one question here. There's Govinda. Your question is there. Your question, Mataji question. Guru Charan is your name, no? Yes, I remember you. Cooking for Giriraj Maharaj. And yes, so we will see. Yes, we can start with a question. Govinda was, I think, first.
Thank you, Maharaj. Maharaj, you mentioned the dust of Vrindavan being the most important. So sometimes we hear Dhamvas as being the most important of the 64 Angas of Bhakti. And other scriptures like, I believe, Nectar of Devotion, it says Guru Padashraya, shelter of Guru's lotus feet as being the most important. And I think Harinam Chintamani says Nam Sankirtan is the most important of the 64 Angas of Bhakti. So how can we harmonize all these different concepts?
Yes. Everything is most important. Everything is most beautiful. We say like this because through every one of these angas you can meet Krishna. So it's most important. But from another perspective, it has been said that the most important sadhana is the chanting of the holy name. That has been. Mahaprabhu has talked about this in Chaitanya Charitamrita as saying that this alone will be able to deliver Krishna prema. So he has said of all the nine processes, this is the most important, Hare Krishna. But then the devotees get so much in one point and they feel Krishna can be met in this way, and then the word most important slips out of their mouth also then. It is like this. Yes, here's another devotee who has a question.
The discourse. You said that one might have to do something inconducive to what the real goal is. So while endeavoring or contemplating a particular quest, and when there's several obstacles that one has to face, then how does one differentiate whether these encumbrances are ones that are placed by Maya or they are Krishna's?
Yeah, yeah. Very good question. You have understood this point very deeply. Yeah. Maybe it has struck something in your heart. So, Krishna, I hope that you, someone would notice this point and asked about it. I would like to correct your question, but I will answer your question. I did not say one should do something which is inconducive. It is conducive for reaching the higher end. I hope we understand each other there. Now, how do we know if this is what I do is really helping me to reach Krishna, or if it is just dragging me in Maya, pulling me in Maya? This is a very good question. This is a very good question, and the borderline is, it's not always so easy to know. But we need something to go, a compass to go in life, and the compass is also always Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. This is what protects us on our journey to move forward. I gave one example. I want to give one example of Prabhupada, which just comes to my mind. You will hear now something about Srila Prabhupada, which you should not say in a Times magazine interview. Once Srila Prabhupada, he was building his temple in Juhu, and funds were required for this. More funds than there were available in India. And someone had to bring these funds. So once Prabhupada was in a arriving from America in Juhu, he sat down comfortably, and all of a sudden, out of his dhotis, a stream of American dollar notes flowed, as if there was a you know, I don't want to give an analogy. So much dollars he had carried, and it was just, you know, he just, and he smiled. It was just, he was not trying to hide it. And then the devotees just looked. Prabhupada smiled and said, they wouldn't search the guru. The world would say, this is highly objectionable, you know, to import unannounced money, currency. Ooh, there's, you know, I mean, I'm not a, you can ask the people from New York, they are very aware of money and how it moves, that there's some problem, you know. He went against the current of mundane, mundane laws, you know, to reach his goal to build a beautiful temple in Juhu for thing. He did many things in spreading his movement, where he was, where objection was given from the Bengalis, his god brothers from an orthodox background. And he rationalized. Prabhupada writes even in this, in his purport, sometimes my god brothers say this has not been done, this is not done properly. He says there, but they do not understand that it is done for a goal. So, my dear devotee, your question, better is you discuss privately if you are in doubt, because it's not that the goal justifies all means. It's not like that. Sometimes we hear the goal justifies all means. If the goal is, we would object to this. For instance, Prabhupada drew very clear borders in receiving donations. At the time when the hippie culture was blossoming, there were many hippies who were earning their money with drug dealings, and Prabhupada would never accept that money on principle. That's what I heard and what I know, and that is what I've also applied in my life. Many times money has been offered to me from illicit incomes, you know, which are not good, and I know there's blood on this money, or sin on this money, more than on other money. So one has to say no. It does require discrimination. So I can only request you, if you are in doubt, ask superior Vaishnavas whom you are trusting. That is best, because the line, sometimes we can't recognize it. Hare Krishna. Yes, I think you are there. Then yes, please, Prabhu, take the microphone.
Maharaj, always when describing Krishna, we always compare with the lotus, lotus eyes, lotus hand, lotus feet. Now, what is the very philosophical expression? We explain all the things with the lotus.
The lotus has five outstanding qualities which you find in Krishna. The lotus smells wonderfully, so Krishna's fragrance is also like a lotus, and a little musk on it, smeared on it. And then Mother Yashoda puts a special Chatushan, it's called, on it, and it increases the fragrance, but it's the idea is a very good smell. The next point is the lotus is very soft to the touch. In the same way, Krishna's hands and lotus feet are very soft. The third is the lotus is extremely nice to see. When you see a lotus and you feel hot in the summer, you feel see that lotus. It's even so nice that you feel cooled and refreshed. And this is the darshan of Krishna, is also cooling and refreshing. Then, believe it or not, the lotus has a sound. I needed to learn this. What's the sound of a lotus, please? Well, it's the nice bees which very attractively hum around the lotus and sing the humming ragas. So in the same way, Krishna's flute sound and especially the tinkling of his ankle bells is extremely pleasing to hear. So we need one other sense organ. Excuse me? Taste, yeah. The taste. Lotus tastes very nicely. There are even preparations with lotus seeds, but the lotus leaf is very nice taste. And Krishna's taste is very nice. For those who are very, very, very Paramuttama Vaishnavas, the gopis, they taste his kiss. So such good taste. Others, like his servants, may taste his meals, you know, the remnants of his meals. And we, the servants of him in this world, taste his prasadam, but we also taste his katha and find it very sweet. And his name, we find it very sweet. Krishna, Gopi Jana Vallabha, Rasa Vihari, Vrindavan Vinod. Wow, so nice, such nice good names, so sweet. So these, just like the lotus has five very, very mesmerizing qualities, Krishna has the same qualities. Therefore, he is compared to the lotus. His lotus feet, lotus eyes, lotus, everything lotus. And another for the jnanis amongst us, the lotus is in a muddy area, grows from mud, but is not touched. So Krishna is also never touched by the material world. When he appears in it as an avatar or as a deity or as a holy name and so on.
Maharaj, when we also describe Vaishnavas like Guru Mukha Padma Vakya, like we also compare Guru also like lotus feet, lotus mouth.
Lotus mouth, the words from your lotus mouth. So.
Yeah,
we say that out of respect and out of appreciation of what we receive from the Guru. Therefore, we say this all lotus, lotus. I will turn to the Matajis and then I want to do one Naam Kirtan with you of special names of Krishna. Which we have prepared for this katha, but there was a Mataji somewhere with which we will. Yes, Lalita, yes.
Maharaj, for your wonderful presentations. Yesterday you mentioned something to the point that keep the process natural for you so that it'll be sustainable. In Barsana, you mentioned something about thinking about holy places. So, is it all right to think about holy places during chanting in place of thinking about Krishna's lotus feet, which may not be most natural.
This process of thinking of holy places while chanting is a very good process. It Srila Prabhupada, I think I've mentioned this quite often, was once asked in New York, "Swamiji, are you here?" And he said, "No, I'm in Vrindavan." Especially when we do sacred activities like chanting, it's good to do that in an environment which we can do. So if you have therefore I would like to recommend to you some Vrindavan roaming with the Braj Mandal Parikram, where you can take snapshots of holy places in your mind and go there in your meditation. It's better to chant in at the banks of the Yamuna than in New York or Boston or Sydney or wherever.
I do have one more question.
You might even put a good picture up in your room of Vrindavan. Then it is comes very naturally to think of Vrindavan.
Could you please comment a little on the 10th offense?
To maintain material attachments like I and mine. Oh, Krishna. In brief, I like this very much. Gaurahari gave in Australia a very interesting tune-in session for doing our Harinam retreat there. And he said that when we chant, we are very much, we are often in our own world still, not in the world of Krishna, in our own thoughts. That means an I and my concept, you know, I am this, my life, you know, and my ideas. And we can't really hear in this world anything which goes on. That's the big problem when you come to a lecture, but you just can't enter the subject of the lecture because you're too much in your head and with your mobile telephone and your text messages and so on. I know this myself. I sometimes have no other way to write my letters than I go in a lecture, and then I write a letter with a hand. Everyone thinks I'm taking notes, but I'm writing a letter, and I don't know what is going on in the lecture. If you ask me, what did the lecturer explain just now, I will say, well, something Krishna conscious, most properly, you know. But I don't know what it is because I'm in a different world. I'm engaging with whomever I'm writing this letter now to. You know? So when we chant and we are in our own little world, in our own thoughts, and I have to do this, and then this shopping list, and then he said this yesterday, and so on, then you can't enter the world of the holy name and Krishna. You are, and that is very, very, very bad. Hare Krishna. He is in his world, in the world of I and mine, and he lives it unabashed, but he is not participating in the retreat, although he may sit on the roof and have the best place, you know. Hare Krishna. That is what we do when we chant absent in the world of I am mine. Hare Krishna. So, I want to now end this katha by singing with you something which Akrura is remembering. Akrura is remembering on his journey that in Vrindavan there is constant singing of Krishna's glories. The devatas sing Krishna's glories, the Brajabasis sing his glories, and we should also sing just for 5 minutes his glories. Krishna Gopala Hare Mukunda Govinda He Nanda Kishore Krishna Krishna Gopala Hare Mukunda Govinda He Nanda Kishore Krishna Ha Shri Yashoda Tanaya Prasida Shri Vallabhi Jeevana Radhikesha The last line means he is the life force of the Balavis. Balavis means the young girls of Vrindavan and Radhikesha. He is the lord of Srimati Radha Rani. Sri Krishna Gopala Hare Mukunda Govinda He Nanda Kishore Krishna Shri Yashoda Tanaya Prasida Shri Vallabhi Jeevana Radhikesha Krishna Gopala Hare Mukunda Govinda He Nanda Kishore Krishna Ashi Yashoda Pranaya Pasida Shri Vallabhi Jeevana Radhikesha Shri Krishna Gopala Hare Mukunda Govinda He Nanda Kishore Krishna Ashri Yashoda Tanaya Prasida Shri Vallabhi Jeevane Radhikesha This was a song which was sung by Gop Kumar just before he entered the Goloka Vrindavan. He sang this, and as he sang it, his eagerness for Krishna became bigger and bigger and bigger. And at one stage, he became just so alive, you could say, or so eager to meet Krishna, that he actually saw him, embracing him, And then when he tried to catch him, he ran into the Yamuna and fell into the Yamuna. And from there, by the touch of Yamuna Mai's Kripa, he went to that Vrindavan Dham in the spiritual world. So it's a kirtan which should be sung somehow with an eagerness to attain Krishna. If we can put this little spice into our kirtan, it will be better. Sri Krishna Gopala Hare Mukunda Govinda He Nanda Kishora Krishna Hashi Yashoda Tanaya Pasira Jivallabhi Jivana Dari Kesha. I will sing along. Krishna Gopala Hare Mukunda Govinda He Nanda Kishora Krishna Hashi Yashoda Tanaya Pasida Jivallabhi Jivani Radhikesha Sri Krishna Gopala Hare Mukunda Govinda He Nanda Kishora Krishna Sri Yashoda Tanaya Pasida Jivallabhi Jivani Radhikesha Jaya Giri
Oh!
before you all leave, I have an important announcement. See, when Vaishnavas pray for a conditioned soul, Krishna will hear their prayer. And when they do this right in front of the Lord, like in our case where we sit right in front of Giriraj, there's a great, great chance that this will be heard more. We have in our congregation or amongst the uncle of Palika, his name is Jayant Shantilal Vaita, who lost his life. I mean, not he didn't lose his life, who died physically in a fatal motor car accident. The day before yesterday. And because we are all together, and I would just like you to take just a minute time, and I want to sing a very small, just 1 minute kirtan where you all pray. And
Yeah.
have an eagerness. Hare Hey.
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare
your hands in the sky like a child will raise its hands as a gesture to be picked up by the mother. That's why we do this. We, like a child when it wants to be picked up by the mother, will go like this. So we do also to be picked up by the Lord, and let us in one unified voice sing to Giriraj like we really mean it. We really mean it. This, please accept me. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna. Last time, please. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Thank you very, very much. I wish you a wonderful, is it now the fourth full day? The fourth full retreat day. And don't forget, the pot of nectar is prepared by Giriraj with your name on it if you eagerly want to receive that gift. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful day and Hare Krishna.